This is the Grind It Podcast. We know just like grinding a handrail or across a coping can be challenging at times, so can life be. We share God's Word and personal stories to encourage you to keep grinding and to not give up. It's time to grind. So here's the old school skateboarder himself, Randall Tucker.
Welcome to the Grind It Podcast. We're going to start now.
That's a great intro. Yes.
Thank you. Today we're going to pick up with Mark chapter 15, but before we get into all that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to embarrass yourself. And because as you can see it, we're at the round table, and we have a lot of young people with us today. So why don't we start with my wife? Why don't you start, and we'll go around the table, and we'll say who's here.
Oh, my name is Mary.
Roll call.
Mary, formerly Gamboa. Now Tucker.
MaryGamboaMusic.com.
There you go.
Check out our album.
All right. And to my right?
I'm Hope. Yeah.
Right. Hope, where are you from?
California.
Woo-woo! In the house.
Just moved to Tennessee. How long ago?
Almost 2 years.
Almost? Oh, you've been here 2 years?
Yep.
They just started coming to Authentic Church. 322 Lindsay Street, now Alcoa, 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you.
Come join us.
Yeah, come
so
on.
We're beyond leaps come and bounds. About to go to two services. Here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And to my left is
Dylan Murphy.
The
Dylan Murphy. Quintessential. don't hype me up like that.
Worship leader. Can shred on an electric guitar. What else?
Shred this morning for the first time in like probably a month and a half. Yeah. I actually played my electric.
Nice.
Felt so weird.
You're playing with a bluegrass band too, right?
Yes, sir. Jaybirds, Facebook, go look at us. We haven't gotten a gig yet, but we're trying.
You'll get there.
I'll get there.
All right.
And
I'm Jessica. You are?
Say it again.
I'm Jessica.
Jessica. From?
Merville.
You better pronounce
Merville.
It M-R.
Merville.
That's right. And she's, all of these are youth, except for Dylan.
He's out there on
at Authentic Church. He plays with us at Authentic Church sometimes, yeah. And I'm Randall. Randy. Y'all know me for 3 years now. So you are?
Olivia.
Other known as?
Liv.
From?
California.
It's California people.
We love them.
We love our California people, especially at Authentic Church, 322 Lindsay Street.
Okay.
Three-fourths of the church is from California.
I know.
I thought you were about to plug the address the second time. 322.
We're actually praying for 322 souls to be saved and spirit-filled.
Around the church.
Lord,
give us the strategies to reach them.
That's right. And last but not least,
I'm Shelby.
Shelby's been doing the podcast with us for a while now. All right, so thank you all for joining us today, by the way.
Thank you for having us.
You're so brave. Just speak loudly so the mic can pick you up. And try not to hit the table.
I'm gonna be on my best behavior.
So we got one more chapter to do in Mark, and we're thinking about doing Revelation next. I'm not 100% sure what we're gonna do.
Wow, that's awesome.
About Revelation.
0 to 100. Let's
yeah,
go.
For reals. And so we're to the point now where Jesus has done his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's had the last Passover meal with his disciples. They sung to him. Judas has gone and done his thing. Peter's denied him 3 times. And we left Jesus with his disciples at the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested and brought before the council. And that's where Mark 15 picks up, is the trial. You know, we're getting pretty close to, as Mary likes to say, Resurrection Day. She don't like to call it Easter. The Resurrection Day. And it's really timing out pretty good the way we're covering this book of Mark and coming up on these last few chapters. Looking at the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus, because that's why we're all here for, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is our hope.
It's good. Yep.
That's our hope. So Shelby, if you will, what did I tell you, the first 5 verses? read verse 1 through 5.
Wait, do you want us to pray first?
I forgot that last time, didn't I? Lord, forgive me!
I was waiting to make eye contact. Nobody
oh, who needs like, prayer?
Oh, that hurt!
Sorry. Thank you for
everything. That's all
right. Go for it, Mama.
Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in this place. And we ask you for wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding, discernment. May we rightly divide your word of truth. You said we are workmen not ashamed if we rightly divide it. So help us to ingest this, to chew on it, to be able to meditate on your word and get rhema out of it.
Yeah.
Not just logos, mm-hmm. not just head knowledge, Lord, but spirit knowledge that feeds us,
yeah.
that empowers us. We ask for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Could it be a bad habit? Go ahead, Chef.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away.
Wait a minute. Sorry, right over a second. So all these people who are supposed to know the Bible, Old Testament, right? They're supposed to be pointing to the Messiah, should be excited about the Messiah. Here is the Messiah. Been in their midst for three and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to stone him multiple times. They tried to push him off a cliff. Ever since he started working miracles, they have been plotting on how to kill him. The person they've been looking for hundreds of years that the prophets have been prophesying about. And here's their whole little group. They've been meeting all night long secretly, which is why I call this silent but deadly. Because mm-hmm. they're keeping silence. As far as the crowd, and you know, they're keeping all these things behind closed doors, and they're fixing to they're getting their way because they've got how Satan works from the inside out, right? He likes to get on the inside and bust up and split, divide, and that's exactly what he's done with Jesus and his disciples.
Yeah.
So, all right, go ahead.
So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Are you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed.
We're going to talk about that here in just a second. But here, Jesus is bound by these guys. I mean, he was also bound in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? By the little militia. He was bound and led away to this moment here. And it's kind of comical because, as you brought out in the last podcast, when is it John's Gospel or Luke's Gospel, where they come to arrest Jesus, and they said, Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And he said, they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And what happens? They all fall out.
Because he says, "I am he."
Yeah,
right?
I am he. And they all just, from this power. So this is kind of comical that they kind of bound him up as if it could hold him. But what makes it special is what John says in 1 John 10, 17 and 18. Maybe it's John 10, 17 and 18. It's what Jesus says. I don't know why I put 1 John in there. But it's John 10, 17 through 18. "The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want, and to also take it up again.
That's good.
For this is
Come
what
on.
My Father has
yeah.
commanded."
That's good.
But I want to point out there that these people didn't kill Jesus. He voluntarily laid down his life. Why?
For us.
For us. For our sin. And we're going to dig into that real deep here in a few minutes.
Good.
All right. So these guys they're hurling accusations against Jesus. It's kind of like, what's the old saying, taking the poop and throwing it up against the wall to see if it sticks.
Ooh.
Putting it in a nice way.
Sure. Yeah. I'd never heard that before, I'll be honest with you.
Well, it's usually said a different way. I'm just trying to keep it clean.
I feel, yeah. PG.
But, yeah, PG. But that's what they're doing. They're hurling these accusations against Jesus. And this, too. It's not comical, but it is comical because here's a man of perfection who has never sinned not one time because he couldn't, or he couldn't be our Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. that he's our Passover lamb. He and the Passover lamb has to be perfect,
spotless,
without blemish. That's Jesus. And so they're hurling all these accusations against him, trying to trump up these charges so that they can get him killed and get him out of here. So Pilate's saying, don't you hear all these accusations they're making against you? And what does Jesus say?
He just
keeps his mouth shut because he knows he's innocent. Jesus doesn't feel the need to defend himself because he knows why he's there. I just read it, part of it. He's there to die for the sins of man. All right, especially being teenagers, when somebody's accusing you of something, how do you feel and what do? How do you respond? Do you keep your mouth shut? Or what do?
Just keep my mouth shut. Like,
you do keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, like, it doesn't bother me. Because I know it's not true.
Really?
People, like, my close friends know it's not true. So it's like, why give me the satisfaction of...
You're not as combative.
There's some wisdom there.
There's a lot of wisdom there.
But I'm sure you guys have had other peers... people that you know that probably did not do that, right?
I was going to say, I think it also kind of depends on how well you know the person that's accusing you of this thing. Like, if they're closer to you, then you're going to be like, hey, like, what are you talking about? But if it's, like, someone that you don't even know and that they're just saying something random, it's not as close to home as it would be as if it's someone that you know at least a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Like, why they're going to work out today.
Exactly.
They're not even...
Okay. Yeah, some Joe Schmo off the street walks up and accuses you. It's like, whatever, you know. But if it's your sibling, hey, no, that is not how that went down, right? You might explain yourself. If it's the principal of your school,
definitely
not. Not still me.
You'd have to use some wisdom. Like, do I defend myself? Do I state these are the facts?
90% of the time.
Do I just keep my mouth shut?
I know in the past. I don't keep my mouth shut, unfortunately. And I plead my case. I'm not like that at all. I didn't do that.
This is guilty.
This is what, I like to defend myself. But maybe I should learn from Jesus' example. Anything else?
I have a question. This talks about the Sanhedrin. What is the Sanhedrin?
A lot of rich people.
What? Just rich people?
So I'll be honest, I thought that was a certain, like, I thought that was a certain branch of Pharisee.
It was made up of Pharisees.
Really?
And Sanhedrin. Okay.
Well, can I read my footnote?
I like to read
the footnotes. This is why I like a study Bible, right?
They're like the judicial branch of the...
Okay.
So back in chapter 14, verse 55, my footnote says, the Sanhedrin is the high court of the Jews. In New Testament times, it was made up of three kinds of members: chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law. So its total membership numbered 71, including the high priest, who was the presiding officer. Under Roman jurisdiction, the Sanhedrin was given a great deal of authority, but it could not impose capital punishment. What's capital punishment?
Death sentence.
Right, so they couldn't give a death sentence.
Okay.
But they could do other kinds of punishments, right? We talked podcast or two about the flogging, 39 times.
Yeah,
you know, you could be flogged in public. There were other things that they could do, and they had the authority. But so this is kind of like court. Okay, let's put it back in a school setting. This would be your, authority figures, the faculty, the teachers, as well as maybe the janitorial staff and the principals and, those kind of folks. That was your Sanhedrin that would decide what's going on, what's your punishment, what's,
Yeah, and you see this in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John are when persecution first starts. Remember, they're brought before the Sanhedrin because they were speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus, and they were told not to do this again. And then what happens? They go right back out, and they begin to preach and teach in the name of Jesus again. They're brought right back, and this time they're flogged and said, don't do this again. They go right back out, and they do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who they were brought before, was the Sanhedrin.
So this was, if I'm not mistaken, Pharisees and Sadducees, right?
Right.
So, and the difference, right? Paul stirs up a little debate between them. He's like, I'm on trial because of the resurrection!
Yes.
And these guys who believe in the resurrection start fighting with the guys who don't believe in the resurrection. They get all crazy with each other. But that was part of the Sanhedrin. So,
yeah, the Sanhedrin. You had to have a lot of money and you had a lot of power.
Mm.
If you remember the Sanhedrin.
So, needless to say, Jesus is being brought before this whole Sanhedrin. So there's 71 sets of eyes looking at him.
Who met secretly through the night.
Right, but they're looking at him, going, "Are you? Are you not? Who are you? You know, what do we do with you?"
Well, think of their egos right now, too. They finally got it.
They're all jealous, number one.
Yeah.
They're all jealous of Jesus and the miracles that he's done, right?
But they've been trying for three and a half years. Jesus has been, like, they would think something in their mind. Remember the Pharisees at the Pharisees' house, Simon the Pharisee. And Jesus will call him out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do know who this woman is, and she's preparing me for my burial. You, on the other hand, you didn't even wash my feet when I came in your house.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and so they're jealous, and these guys would have huge egos, and so they've got this, they think a quack, you know, some crazy nut that's been running around three and a half years saying that he's the Messiah. There's no way he's the Messiah, because first of all, your mama's an adulterer, is what they're thinking, because she's pregnant and wasn't even married, so there's no way. You're from Nazareth, nothing good comes from Nazareth. You're just an ordinary dude. You're not sitting on the throne of David. You're not dressed in royal garbs. You just don't fit the description. Therefore, we don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, yeah, they're jealous. And so now, think of their egos. And here they are. They have Jesus before them. They can't kill him, but they can persuade somebody that could kill him, which is what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. So, apparently, the making their plans consisted of, they wanted to accuse Jesus before the civil authority, before the Roman authority, for treason. Because what's the punishment for treason?
Death.
Yeah, death. I mean, if somebody told American secrets to China or elsewhere in the world, you know what I'm saying? They would be called, it would be said that they had committed treason.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the punishment for that is death. Right, so they were hoping to get him on treason so they could get him killed and they wouldn't have to take the blame for it.
Yeah, and from verse two, you know, one of the accusations that they've made against him, because Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So obviously they're saying, "Hey, he said he's the king of the Jews. We don't believe he's the king of the Jews. He said he's the king of the Jews," which would get him for treason, because that's bucking up against Caesar. You can't do that.
Because there can't be another king
exactly
in this kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Do me a favor. Go and check out some awesome worship music that's written and sung by my beautiful wife, Mary Tucker, and you can check that out at marygamboamusic.com. Mary is the worship leader at Authentic Church at 322 Lindsay Street in Alcoa, Tennessee. Now you can check us out and come worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. and we'd love to have you there. Also, you can download Mary's songs wherever you stream your music. If you would like to book Mary for your next event, contact her through the website at marygamboamusic.com, or you can text her at area code 865-418-2824. We look forward to worshiping with you soon. Now, back to the podcast.
He's trying to get this army going so he can revolt against you guys. So take him out. Kill him. All right, Shelby. Verses 6 through 15.
Now it was custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising.
So this guy's a murderer. He's killed people.
The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. Knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him.
Or the New Living Translation.
Jealousy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the New Living Translation says, "For he realized by now that the leading priest had arrested Jesus out of envy." Out of envy. Jealousy. Yeah.
That's crazy. I'll be honest with you. I've read that so many times, but I've never connected it like that. I never knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests were like, oh, okay, well, this Jesus guy is dangerous. Not only because he's spewing out rhetoric that doesn't look like what Isaiah prophesied. Like, there, if I can I do this real quick? So, something I've been reading about is Isaiah 61, which I'm actually a little bit... There it is. So, Jesus appears before these saints, like, not these officials, per se, but he appears before the public, and he's rejected because he reads this verse in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to the prisoners. And it goes on. It's essentially Isaiah's prediction of what's to come. And it's predicting Jesus. And then he goes in front of these people. I want to say it's in Luke.
When he reads the scroll.
Yes. And
he's in the synagogue.
And he's in the He's in the synagogue and he's reading all of this, and they're like, oh, you're the fulfillment of scripture?
Yeah, he told
them. Are you sure about that? And then that's where he was rejected. Started. And that makes a lot more, like, that kind of brings it full circle for me, because it's like, oh, okay, they're jealous of him not only because he's doing all these things, but because he's a breathing fulfillment of scripture. And they're like, oh, well, are you? You know? Well, if you are, then we want to be the people that say we got the best of you.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I don't know. Sorry. Little thing that I've just never realized about this passage.
That's no, because I can't remember if it's in Mark 15, if it's in this, or if we've already read it. But when they're punching him and smacking, ripping his beard off and all this horrible stuff, And the guy smokes me and says, now prophesy, who just hit you? Was that last time? In the last time? I remember we were talking about that. And it was like, Jesus knew exactly who was hitting him. He could have called him out. He could have killed the guy for it if he wanted to. But
it's the next section.
It's the next section? Okay. But think about it. When Jesus started, when he read that scroll, and he started healing, one of the first healings he did was in the synagogue when he healed the man's withered hand. And the Pharisees, they were constantly having issues with Jesus because, well, he's healing on the Sabbath. They didn't care about the person who was sick and needed healing. They were just upset because he was healing on the Sabbath, or he's breaking the law. But anyway, so...
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
They're used to getting... the Pharisees, if you think about it, they're used to being out in the public, right? And they're saying these fancy prayers. And they're used to getting all this attention. Well, now the attention's been focused on Jesus because the crowds are following him everywhere he goes. And so their egos are just out the roof. And that they're full of envy. They're full of jealousy. We got to get rid of this guy. Why? Because our power, our power, our control, everybody's getting their eyes off of us and turning on this dude who's a nomad. He don't even have a house.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking around the streets and don't even have a place to lay his head.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us. We're rich and powerful. But the attention is going to this man. Gotta get rid of this guy. A lot of ego check here. Alright, so go ahead. Where are we at?
Verse 11.
Alright.
But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why, what crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
There you go, to pacify the crowd. All right, so something that I'm speaking of reading the Bible and still learning things. I'm 51 years old. I've been studying the Bible or reading it at least since I was in the second or third grade. I've been at least reading it for a long time. And so here's, you got Barabbas, right?
Yeah.
And you can chime in on this.
Yeah.
So Barabbas, if you break this down, I didn't realize this until when I was studying for this podcast, literally. In Matthew, his name is Jesus Barabbas. And when you break down Barabbas, Bar, the B-A-R, Bar, Abbas, Bar means son of, and Abba means
daddy.
Daddy, father. So Barabbas's name is
Jesus,
son of a father.
I know. I always
Are you serious?
And I was like, wait, Barabbas, right? Okay, so think about other names in scripture, like Simon Bar Jonah, right?
Okay,
Simon,
yeah.
son of Jonah.
Yeah.
Right? Bar is, so it's Aramaic, I think. Bar, meaning son of, and then Abbas, right?
I know. So his crazy. Wait, I'm sorry. His first name was Jesus.
Yes, it's in Matthew.
So look, everything that God does, Satan counterfeits, right? Everything God does, Satan tries to counterfeit. And so you look at this man who is in prison because he actually was part of an insurrection, and my Bible says that he was probably part of the zealots. You know, who were trying to stir up an actual revolution against the Romans, right? He's been involved in murder, and he's been taken into custody. Do you want us, do you want me to release Jesus Bar Abba, right? The real one, Jesus of Nazareth, who really is the son of the Father? Or do you want me to release Jesus Barabbas, who's the counterfeit? And what does the crowd cry out for?
Is that not cool?
The counterfeit.
I've never realized that until I was studying for this podcast. So I want to talk about that just some more. There's a guy by the name of Tim Keller. He's passed away from cancer now, but he wrote in a book. It says, Tim Keller points out that we have two Jesuses in our story, both son of the Father, and yet they could not be more different. One rules by taking the lives of others, and the other rules by giving his own life. One wants to overthrow the king, and the other is the rightful king of the people. One is guilty and will be set free, and the other is an innocent man who is about to be killed. The real son of the Father, who is innocent, will go to his death. And he said they freed the wrong son.
That's insane.
That is insane.
I'm just now reading it, so it's a footnote, and I got to be honest, I didn't know that this Bible had that, so now I've got an entire different resource, which is awesome.
Praise the Lord for footnotes.
This is phenomenal. So it does say other messages read Jesus Barabbas. Also in verse 17, it says the exact same one says, "Who is it you want for me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" Like they make the distinction. That's nuts! I didn't know that.
So
that's so cool.
Here's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. And it's this. Every one of us is Barabbas. Every one of us is Barabbas. And the reason why I say that is because he may be guilty of murder, and I'm assuming none of y'all killed anybody.
No.
Maybe one or two at a time or two.
Close. I came close. There was a
but it's because of our sin, like the song I brought up last time by Ray Bowles, the hammer in our right. hand. It's our sin is the reason why Jesus had to go through this.
Right.
Every one of our sins, no matter what we fill in the blank with, it just sin in general. Romans 3:23 says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, every person's ever walked the face of the earth. Beside Jesus, right? So, in a way, we're like Barabbas. Jesus took our place on the cross. It should have been us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to give you some verses, and we talk about these verses. Hebrews 2:9-10 says, "What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everybody. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 21 says this. Either way, Christ's love controls us.
Mm.
Compels us, somebody else says. But it's Christ's love that controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all.
Who's included in all?
Even Judas.
Everybody?
I mean, what did he do to, when Judas brought that militia into the garden, and there was a signal that was supposed to be given to that militia for the one to arrest, because they didn't know who Jesus was. And so here they show up with their lanterns and their clubs and their swords, and they're here to, for a fight or something. And Judas says, the one I go up and kiss, that's the one you're going to arrest. That'll be Jesus. And Judas goes up and he kisses Jesus. Do you know what Jesus said to Judas? I can't believe you're doing this, man. What are you doing? No, it's not. That's, you sinner.
No, that's what he thought.
No, that's not what he said. What did he say? When he arrested, when Judas kissed him and he was going to arrest him. Friend. He still called Judas friend. That's what he does for us.
That has to hit hard, though. Like, yeah. You just did that, and now he's still calls friend. Like, that has to hurt, like, at least a little.
Yeah, and it did hurt. It hurt him so bad that he went home himself. He couldn't take it. And this is what I talked about last podcast. I think it's the last podcast. But if he would have just hung on for a few days, he would have saw that this was working out for everybody's good. Because he was amongst the 12 disciples. Every time that Jesus said, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to die on the cross, I'm going to be put in a tomb for 3 days, but I'm going to come back out alive. It's going to be okay. And he couldn't hold on. I don't know if it was the guilt or what, but he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the people, threw it at him, and took off and hung himself. So, either way, Christ's love controls us, Paul says. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone. Talking about Jesus. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So in other words, when we come to Christ and we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, like Paul says in Romans 6, that old man is crucified, he's buried. Or in Galatians 2:20,
mm-hmm.
I'm crucified with Christ.
So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Yeah. The life I live by faith in the Son of Man who gave himself for me.
Yes.
Loved me and gave himself.
So our old man has passed away, right? Romans 6, and we come up out of water, the baptism, and we're filled with the Spirit, and we're walking according to the Spirit, right? I forgot my train of thought there. I'll get back on this. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. That's what I was going to say. So our old man has passed away. We're not supposed to live for our own selfish desires. We're supposed to be doing to do God's will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Living for Jesus. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person.
Come on.
The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God. So it goes back. Whatever you've done, even if you have murdered somebody, which you have not, but fill in the blank, the worst of sin that you could imagine, when you come to Christ, the Bible says that when you're washed in the blood of Jesus, your sins are not remembered against you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like God has amnesia and forgets. He just doesn't. He's looking at us through a filter now, and that filter is the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're forgiven.
Right.
So
I am Barabbas. I am Judas.
Yes.
Right. Shelby had something.
Go ahead.
She had something to contribute.
I just thought of a verse in Titus chapter 3.
Ooh.
It says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, and he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Preach it, sister. Come on.
That's good.
That's good. Good.
That is good.
Grace, I've heard it said, God's redemption at Christ's expense. It doesn't matter. I can go out and baptize a million people tomorrow. That's not going to earn me a place in heaven. It doesn't matter. You can play every instrument that's made known to man and have the greatest voice of an angel. That will get you into heaven. It be on stage every Sunday. Do whatever. Come to youth group every Wednesday night. You know, whatever. It's all what Christ done for us. Mm-hmm. This moment that we're talking about right here at the end of Mark, that His grace, His mercy, His compassion for us. Him, it's about everything that He did, willingly laying down His life.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we can have life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all shall crucify Him.
They do.
Wait, do it with me. Crucify Him.
No, you scared the ground.
Isn't it crazy though? But that was me, right?
Yeah.
That was me, not knowing, standing in the crowd, going, crucify Him.
People
right?
Do it every day.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't intentionally do that now, knowing what I know. But that's what was going on at the time. All the regular people, and some of the people, this is crazy, some of the ones that were celebrating His entry into Jerusalem the week before are now the ones shouting, crucify Him! Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, a minute ago, they were like, Hosanna! Blessed is the King! Right? And now they're down with the King! Crucify Him!
Yeah, they literally, just a few days before, I'm assuming some of the same crowd had the palm branches and was,
mm-hmm.
Hosanna, son of David.
Yeah.
And now they've been persuaded to give up this murderer. And there's no way this guy could be. They've seen miracle after miracle after miracle for 3 to 3.5 years. They've seen dead people come back to life, which is crazy. They've seen blind eyes healed, open. They hear mute people speaking now.
Mm-hmm.
The deaf can hear.
Withered hands grown back. People who are paralytics getting up and walking.
Demons being cast out.
Yeah.
So how in the world could they, on one hand, cry out, this is the one, this is the Messiah, we're putting our clothes down so the donkey can walk on our clothes, to crucify him. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Propaganda.
Persuasion. It is propaganda.
Right.
They were persuaded. The crowd was persuaded to by these religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Grind It podcast. If we could pray for you or encourage you in any way, please email us at thegrinditpodcast@gmail.com or you can text us at 865-418-2824. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe and you'll be notified about new episodes. If you're listening on an app, leave us a 5-star review, but most importantly, share the Grind It podcast with a friend. God bless you and remember, keep grinding.